Welcome to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Coral Arts Podcast. I'm Steve Mulder, Artistic Director, and I will be your host as we talk to GCA personalities past and present, listen to clips from our choral archive, and share together our love for bringing the best choral music to the community. This episode of Inspiration and Beauty is brought to you by our sponsor, Eyesore Inc. With offices right here in Griffin, Eyesore builds awesome websites that make companies look good and drive business. They are small enough to be all in, experienced enough to deliver measurable results fast, lean enough to be cost effective, and quirky enough to make your web project fun. Visit them at eyesoreinc.com. Eyesore Inc. is the official website designer for Griffin Choral Arts. Our guest today is Seth Davis. Seth was the founding accompanist for Griffin Choral Arts. Seth and I met back when I was teaching at Gordon College. We collaborated on a few collegiate and community musical theater productions. When I began working at Griffin First United Methodist Church, one of the first things I did was to recruit Seth to be our church pianist. That was 2004, and when GCA began in 2007, Seth was right there, ready to accompany. GCA has always been blessed with great accompanists, and Seth blazed the way in those early seasons. Seth, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for being our very first guest.
Well, thank you. I'm super excited to be here and very pumped to be your first guest.
So let's catch up on what you've been doing since you left Griffin in 2010 and what you're up to now.
Oh gosh, that feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? And yet, yes. A lifetime and yet just like yesterday, true, in so many ways. But yeah, since 2010, I did a lot of theater in Atlanta for several years. I worked with Actors Express, the Alliance Theater, Serenbe Playhouse, Oglethorpe University, Georgia Tech was their music director for the theater department for several years. And then in 2013, I came up here to Roanoke, Virginia, to Mill Mountain Theater to do Sound of Music for, I don't know what time that is, Sound of Music, how many times I've done Sound of Music. We did it once at Gordon, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Came up in 2013 for Sound of Music to Roanoke, fell in love with Roanoke, and got invited to be the resident music director here at Mill Mountain Theater. I was going back and forth between Roanoke and Atlanta for a little while and then moved up fully to Roanoke in 2014, where I'm still working at Mill Mountain Theater. We have a main stage theater, which seats about 350 audience members. And then we have a black box theater as well. We do musicals, concerts. We have a really vibrant conservatory program for all ages, pre-K all the way through adult students that I teach throughout the year.
It's nice to have that variety of ages, isn't it, to work with?
Oh, absolutely. And they in turn get to work with all of the professionals that we have here in Roanoke, as well as the cast members and crew members that come from all over the country to work at Mill Mountain on specific shows.
I'm guessing Roanoke's a little bit different than Griffin, Georgia. What's Roanoke like culturally?
Oh gosh, Roanoke is a really cool little melting pot, really. We have over 99 countries represented here within the population of Roanoke.
Wow.
So it's a pretty multicultural city. It's kind of like a little bowl surrounded by mountains. We're in the Roanoke Valley region, but we have beautiful mountains all around. So you're not too far from a beautiful day hike anywhere, some beautiful waterfalls, some great food, lots of good music. So lots of fun stuff to do in Roanoke, but it's not a huge city. I feel like we have all of the good things of a city, but without too much of the traffic like Atlanta.
Sure,
like
sure.
Atlanta. But it's a fun
right
place.
There, just stay away from the traffic.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be nice to think back to your Griffin days just a little bit. I'm getting ready to play a clip from our May concert in season one. But first, tell me a little bit about what you remember about that first season and those early days of GCA.
Oh, gosh. Wow. I remember there was so much excitement building up to our first season of GCA. Just in, I mean, for me personally, but also just within the music community as a whole in the greater Griffin area, I think everyone was really looking forward to being challenged by some great classical rep, and just being surrounded by all these great musicians on a weekly basis was really exciting.
Yeah, and we really didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if we were going to have a
truly player,
or if it was going to be all Methodists or whatever.
That's right.
We had some clues from, you know, we did some Messiah Sings and
that's right
productions like that, but we really didn't know until that first project.
That's right. And what a great payoff it was.
Yeah, I still remember being backstage, you and I, the choir had already gone on, and I kind of peeked out that side door and got a glimpse of what the audience looked like. And you know, we kind of had that moment together, and I said, here we go. And off and running, we were there. So
absolutely. Yeah. And the support from the community, just the audience members, has been incredible since day one.
Yeah, it has been, and and continues to this day. We're starting, hard to believe, season 14.
Incredible.
So I'm going to play this clip, and we'll listen to that, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little bit.
Great.
This is Weit und breit schaut niemand mich an, and the English translation of that, in case you don't know German, no one looks at me for miles around, and it's a piece by Brahms. The first verse, which we'll listen to, is translated, what do I care, loosely translated, what do I care if the rest of the world hates me, as long as my beloved loves me and cuddles me with hugs and kisses. And the piano part's amazing, and I'm so proud of how the choir sounds and that they were singing in German, even in season one. So let's listen at this.
Love it. That one is one of my favorite pieces from season one. I remember just falling in love with the piano accompaniment even before the choir came to rehearsals. And yeah, then just getting to hear them and how well they came together as a group from the very first concert was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's you know, I love Brahms, and more than most composers, Brahms writes in such a way that it's not just the piano kind of accompanying the choir, but it's really a collaboration where the piano has a voice and has something to say. And it was really great to give you something that you could really sink your teeth into that way.
Absolutely.
GCA has always been rather ambitious, and for many of us, performing with GCA has stretched our abilities and helped us to sharpen our musical skills. What are some other GCA projects you remember, either because they were great or because they were difficult, or do you have any other memories?
Yeah. Oh, I loved our Alice in Wonderland set that we did. We did the Irving Fines. We did a couple of those.
Lobster Quadrille.
Quadrille and Your Old Father William.
Yes.
Right. And then we did the Jabberwocky by Sam Pottle, which was also really cool. I enjoyed playing the harpsichord on that one. That was a lot of fun.
That's right. We used harpsichord on that.
That's right.
And a little bit of trivia that in those early days when it was a cappella music, often you would sing with the choir. There were times
absolutely.
That we actually
I got to do a lot of that in that World Music concert, which was just a fun concert. I think that was in season two, wasn't it? The Misa Criolla.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I loved our American music concert. I think that was season 3 where we did all the Aaron Copland stuff.
Yes, yes.
Of course, I have a very fond spot in my heart for Aaron Copland. So anytime I get to play Aaron Copland's a good day.
Yeah. Well, one benefit of going back to do these podcasts and is to go back to the archive and dig through and remind myself, you forget so much that you've done and you appreciate it again when you go back.
Absolutely.
I remember one project that was rather stressful, and I want to play a clip of that, play a clip of you and Dr. Otake, Michiko Otake, accompanying the choir in another Brahms selection from Brahms Requiem. Dr. Otake, of course, was your professor at Clayton State, and when we programmed the Brahms Requiem for 2 pianos, she agreed to collaborate. What do you remember about that concert week?
Oh, what a week. But it truly was a treat to play with Dr. Otake. She was so kind and gracious to come to extra rehearsals with us leading up to that concert week, which we had 2 pianos in the rehearsal hall to practice with. And then we got there to rehearsal week, and what was it? We couldn't move the pianos, so they were like spaced.
So yeah, like, if you remember the Baptist Church listeners, you know that the Steinway is kind of in its own little wooden cage over on the side. And we had procured a second piano to be, you know, part of the performance. But it didn't work for them to be separated that far. And there was really no way to move the Steinway out so that they could be together on the platform. So, yeah, you ended up having to kind of improvise and play elbow to elbow, side to side. And
that's right. That's right. But we made it work. It actually, I mean, originally was performed on 1 piano side by side anyway. So we just had to rework some of our elbowography a little bit there to make it work. But it certainly did.
Yeah. And I remember in looking back that it actually probably worked better to have you sitting right next to each other. You were able to cue off each other's, you know, gestures for releases and things like that. And
absolutely,
particularly in this clip, there's a lot of coordination that has to happen as you're working on that. So yeah, that was a little bit stressful. Let's listen to this short excerpt from Brahms Requiem. Such a great recording, so much energy and vitality in the piano parts. And I love Matthew Hoke, the baritone soloist, singing about the trumpet sounding. And in addition to the piano, of course, we added timpani and a string bass to the piano accompaniment to kind of add some richness. It's hard to do Brahms and not have that presence of the timpani, especially, and just a little bit of the added lower sound there. So that was just really wonderful. Great memories from Brahms Requiem. Griffin Choral Arts could not exist without the support of our donors and our sponsors. We thank our podcast sponsor, Eyesore Incorporated. Eyesore Inc. is powered by Polyglot. Thank you for helping us to provide inspiration and beauty and the best choral music to the community. We last saw you, Seth, here in Georgia when you came to help us with Carmina Burana in May of 2017. And again, you were part of a four-handed piano accompaniment, this time playing beside Kathy Willis, or Kathy Garman, her married name. Do you enjoy the four-handed repertoire and playing piano duets?
Oh gosh, I do. That's actually probably one of the highlights, is anytime I get to collaborate with other musicians. I think that's what ultimately drew me to musical theater, and conducting in the pit with all of my wonderful musicians that I have here is just that collaborative process. So I've always loved piano duets. I actually started in middle school and high school with Teresa Beverly. She's Beverly Chafin now. Yeah. She's married. She was one of our GCA members for quite a while.
And I'm trying to remember, it was Promise of Living. Did you do that one with her? Was that with her? I can't remember.
It may have been. There's so many, but yeah. We played together all through middle school and high school, did a lot of competitions together. And we did play a little bit in GCA together, but most of the time she was singing at that point. Mm. And then, of course, with Dr. Otake, I collaborated with several of the students at Clayton State and Dr. Otake's studio. And of course, we cannot forget our piano and organ duets with Dr. Tuning at First Methodist.
Right.
Those are something fun every Sunday, just about coming up with something with Dr. Tuning for offertories. And of course, now I still enjoy collaborating with a bunch of musicians. Usually for our concert series, we'll at least have one other pianist, if not two other pianists, that sometimes we're all playing together at the same time with the other musicians. And it's so fun. Really fun. It's just a cool energy for sure to be able to have that many keyboard players playing at the same time.
Well, I remember that you and I threw together a rotary program one time where we threw piano duets together and did some, I'm remembering Debussy and some Brahms and things like that for a rotary program. And then we also did in Barnesville, if you remember, we did Oklahoma, two pianos side by side.
The two piano version of Oklahoma. And I believe we did the two piano version of Sound of Music.
I think that's right too. Yeah. I'm remembering that.
Yeah.
Which was great for me because I think I generally gave you whatever was difficult. And I ended up just doing boom chick, boom chick. And you were doing all the very fast 16th notes up on top. But those were, it is, there's something really fun about piano duets and piano ensembles that way. So very, very good. All right. Well, I want to play one last clip before we finish up. And this one sounds like you have four hands. It sounds like it could very easily be two pianists sitting side by side. But I love this clip. And I cannot listen to it without getting choked up. And I it leaves me in tears every time. And this is
me too.
This is the Battle Hymn of the Republic from season 3, May 2010. I'm going to start to give a little bit of context because it really, you know, builds to the end. I'll start with the male chorus verse, and then we'll listen to the ending and the very dramatic amens at the end.
Thank you.
when I want to play something for someone considering GCA, quite often I'll bring that one up just to demonstrate, you know.
Yeah, after you sent that recording last week, I was just listening to it in the car, and I just got completely swept up by it, and I looked at myself in the rearview mirror, and my mouth was just completely open, and I was just crying. It's just so powerful. It really is.
I think part of it's the audience reaction too. I mean, we don't even clear the last amen before, and they're just, I remember they were on their feet as soon as we you know, cut off. I turned around and they were on their feet. It was just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. The way it just builds, it just keeps going up chromatically there at the end, those amens. I mean, you just can feel that energy building. It's just incredible.
It was a remarkable moment, and one is only one of many that we had with you at the keyboard. Well, this has been so much fun. And Seth Davis, thank you for joining us today. You have certainly filled us with inspiration and beauty, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We express appreciation once again to our donors and advertisers, and especially to today's podcast sponsor, Eyesore Inc. If you are interested in building a new website, or if you need other online services, check them out at eyesoreinc.com. Thank you for listening to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Choral Arts podcast. Please like or comment on the episode below. Join us next time as we talk to another GCA personality and listen to more recordings from the archive. Griffin Choral Arts. Using inspiration and beauty to create community.